Please do be seated. I love this community. Apart from anything else, for those of you who may have noticed, I love the way that so many of you sprang into action to make sure that whoever wasn't feeling good over there was looked after, so thank you. It is for me a sign of just how quickly we get up and we do what we need to do in terms of caring for one another. And as I looked back through my last 6 years of Thanksgiving sermons, it's my seventh, I checked to make sure I wasn't just going to say the same thing again. That's the only reason I look back, honest. I can see so many reasons over these last few years that I've been giving thanks for being a part of this community. Seeing from the beginning here of the sharing of stories, for those of you who might remember all of 7 years ago, 6 years ago, Craig went among you at that time with a microphone and got you to share what you were thankful for. I was all excited about this new idea of Thanksgiving, which we don't have in the same way in England. And so I thought I'd get you to do what you normally do around the dinner table on Thanksgiving Day, or at least apparently I was told that's what you're meant to do. I've since discovered it doesn't actually happen very often. Anyway, that's another thing altogether. And we have in our journey together over these years looked to see how we can see the face of the divine in all people. And the support you've shown me and my family is another way in which I would want to give thanks. The honest searching for seeking out the ways we live the faith we proclaim is something for which I'm profoundly grateful. We have a faith which affirms the life of God in all people, which affirms the wonder of diversity in sexual and gender identity, which seeks to confront injustice, racism, and untruth. I really do love you people. It's not that I've not loved previous communities that I've been called to serve in the past 23 and a bit years, but there really is something special about this community of the Anglican Church of St. John the Divine. And the reason I use that is now our official title with the CRA. Hooray. Okay, maybe that's not part of my Thanksgiving litany here today. And my original plan was to keep this thought for this week light and frothy, as has been my custom, it seems, to a certain degree over my previous 6 Thanksgivings. I started off 6 years ago with this, my own version of that line from Deuteronomy. My father was a wandering Irishman who went to live as a foreigner in England, which is indeed true. The man I call Dad went from England to Northern Ireland and settled in a little Devon town called Honiton, the place where I was born and raised. And I thought maybe I should revisit that idea of us talking about our own stories and bringing the divine story into ours and how it comes from our story and that wonderful sharing of life that we have. And then I read our scriptures for today. Fortunately, I'm not preaching on the gospel because the one I had was slightly different to the one that we heard this morning, but that's another thing altogether. But I could not get past the first line of Deuteronomy. But just that first line. Now, that's not a great start for a preacher when you've got 3 readings in front of you, but I kept bouncing back to it. And in case you don't remember it, when you have come into the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it. You know, I'd not really noticed that line before quite so starkly. The land your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess and to settle. Perhaps it's a mark of how much I've learned since I came to live here in Canada that this line makes me so uncomfortable. Perhaps it's just that at sometimes we don't get the relief that Canon Kevin Arndt gave to us a few weeks ago when we read something that disturbs us and we get that message, this scripture is not for you. This is not one of those weeks. This one feels it is for us. In this time and in this place, the meaning of these words should be unsettling us. That's a deliberate pun. For this mindset is the foundation of colonialization, of the doctrine of discovery and the belief in terra nullis, that there is nothing of value in the cultures of the great lands of the Americas and indeed elsewhere until white people came. And as such, they got to enter this land and possess it and settle it, to the detriment of the indigenous peoples of this world. I said in my first sermon for Thanksgiving that I didn't have experience of the idea of Thanksgiving as practiced in North America, but that I was glad that Canada seemed to have set about more about the idea of Thanksgiving than a celebration of colonization that seemed more predominant in the United States. And I think this is broadly true, but I was checked by my lovely wife Sabina and my constant challenge that I have from her to my own colonial thinking. As she said, her own experience of growing up in Kamloops was that she was constantly told stories of the pilgrims and the native people and about turkeys and the settling of North America. And in her customarily blunt way, she reflected that trying to switch it to a harvest festival seems a little bit like whitewashing to her. Maybe it is. Or I hope maybe we are getting back to the roots of this festival, which is why we have it at this time of year, very much part of the yearly cycle of preparing for fall, following the harvest and going into the winter. But I digress. Back to this idea of God giving land to possess. I do find that quite disturbing to me. Or at least I find the way it has been used deeply disturbing, because we keep living it out. We have built institutions and structures which continue to favor those who have settled on this land. And those of us, the descendants of white, mainly European settlers, do find ourselves privileged in the shape of this society. As Howard Wallace from the Uniting Church of Australia writes in his commentary on this passage, and I'm not going to try and do an Australian accent. It was tempting, but that moment of levity is not quite right for this one. Of course, we cannot miss the fact that, especially in Deuteronomy, the gift of land for the Israelites came at the expense of the dispossession of others. We might rightly object to this, but we should also remember that not all scripture is there to be accepted in every detail without question. Nor is all scripture of one voice. We can hear what today's passage may say to us in terms of the response to the gifts of God while mourning the loss of land to many around the world, including indigenous Australians. We will find other books, e.g. Genesis, putting forward a more moderate attitude towards sharing land resources. And we should hear what Deuteronomy 26:11 says about sharing the joy of God's gifts with those unable to in some way, even when we are caught in the dilemmas of modern political situations. So I realized as I was preparing these words that I'm reading in to this passage of Deuteronomy my own experience, my own journey, my own concerns, layering on top of an ancient document a different story of identity and a very different journey. For our story is particularly one of colonialization, one which we will continue to address in our search for justice and in dismantling racism. And I'm not going to let that go, nor can any of us, as we face up to the realities of contemporary Canada. And it will come up again in our work of journeying together to wholeness, healing, and reconciliation. For in opening ourselves to telling the truth and to healing, we open up the possibility, as I said at the beginning, of transformation, a place where ourselves and our world can be changed for the better. So I'm challenged to take a look at this Hebrew scripture again and consider its background. The book of Deuteronomy is the latest book, chronologically, of all the books of Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It's a book that comes out of a set of reforms known imaginatively as the Deuteronomic reforms, which took place under King Josiah of Jerusalem in or around the year 622 BCE, or BC as we used to call it, before the Common Era. Conservative commentators often say that this book is a monologue by Moses, maybe on his deathbed, but that seems pretty fishy to me, and indeed to most scholars. What Deuteronomy is a call for the Israelites to return to their sense of who they are, with faithfulness to God at the center of all life. The foundation of political, social, and religious life is to be, says Deuteronomy, rooted completely and wholly in the service of Yahweh, the Lord God, and of one another. The book is written as though it is contemporary to Moses, but it probably is about 800 years after him. Deuteronomy was found conveniently while they were clearing out the crypt in the temple, and they went, "Oh, look, a book of the law that we hadn't realized was here before." It's more likely that it's a revision of earlier scrolls of the law and brought out of storage to call the people of Israel back to a faith that's committed to justice, that's committed to society, that's committed to God. Because that faith was that which the king, Josiah, and the priests were convinced the Hebrew people were deserting. So these reminders of a land of promise and remembrance of their story of identity and of faith were important in drawing the Israelites back to their sense of who they were. And Josiah and the temple authorities' retelling of those stories were to help people to get back to being faithful followers of the ways of God. And the ways of God were not just about how you did temple worship. They were about how you lived in community with one another and cared for one another and made sure that even the lowest in society were included and welcomed and nurtured. Which is where we can take something for our journey here. Telling the stories of faith and identity this Thanksgiving and always as we gather. This is our challenge, to continue to look at the myths of our identity and to look at them in an unvarnished way. Just as Deuteronomy was a document of reformation and challenge, so should we constantly challenge ourselves in the stories we tell of our origins, of our faith, and of our ongoing journey. And we keep telling these stories of faithful following. We tell the stories of Christ and of those who have wrestled with and celebrated and given thanks to God over many years in our scriptures and in our churches. We continue to believe in a God in whom we find identity. A God who is alive and active in our churches and in our lives. A God who is still part of our story. We give thanks for, and we hold on to our tradition and heritage of prayer, of this building, of our music, of our faith story, because we believe our God to be as relevant to the world today as God ever was. We gather, therefore, even as we come with the weight of the past, and even as we come with the joy of the past, we gather to give thanks, that God may continue to bless us and bless this worshiping life that we share together. May we be bold and enthusiastic and excited about our faith journey here and now together, and retell, re-examine, and relive it as we walk together in faith, hope, and love. Amen.